Welcome. I'm Jim O'Neill, a technology evangelist in the Boston area, and I'd like to welcome you to this episode of Practical Azure. Today's topic is Windows Azure Cloud Services, specifically web roles. Let's get started. On the feature map, you'll note that cloud services, or web and worker roles as shown here, are one of the three ways you can host your applications in Windows Azure. Now, each of these three options leverages the same shared data center infrastructure. They just offer different levels of application and deployment support. Cloud Services, which we're going to talk about today, is the platform as a service offering in Windows Azure, and it sits between VMs, virtual machines, which is infrastructure as a service, and websites, which we discussed last time. Now, with Cloud Services, you've got the ability to create complex, componentized, and very scalable applications, and you can span both cloud and on-premises resources. So let's take a look at what constitutes a cloud service and how you can deploy one to your Windows Azure account. And when you're working with cloud services in Windows Azure and Visual Studio, of course, you have the File New Project Cloud Services offering here. And this is a great way to start off with sort of a greenfield application when you're starting from scratch. But many of us have applications that we already have deployed on premises, and we're wondering how can we bring those up into the Windows Azure Cloud. So what I'm going to do here is show you a really small demo of an existing ASP.NET website and bring that into Windows Azure Cloud Service in my Windows Azure account. This site is a pretty simple application. It simply takes in a string. So let's just say hello world. And I submit it to the page. And what it does is it reverses the words and it reverses the letters in the words. So very simple ASP.NET site. And if you look at the code behind, it's really just one method here. I've got a button on the first page. And when I click that button, it takes the text box input and it does some reversing on it, and it spits it back out into the text box output. So that's an ASP.NET site, so perfect candidate for bringing into a cloud service web role. A web role in Windows Azure is essentially a virtual machine hosted in the cloud that has IIS capability. So how do we get this up there? Well, the easiest way to do so is to take the ASP.NET project and wrap it in what we call a cloud service project. So I'm going to say add Windows Azure Cloud Service project here. And what that's going to do is it's going to create another project in my solution, and you'll see it down here, called reverseweb.azure. And this is essentially an umbrella project. It contains some configuration parameters that will deploy my ASP.NET site to the Windows Azure Cloud. In this case, the reverse web application that I had originally becomes what we call a role, and that role is indeed a web role in this context. Now, if I open up this configuration document here, I'll get a nice GUI that allows me to specify a lot of the configuration again for how this is going to run inside of the Windows Azure Cloud. Now, as I mentioned, cloud services is part of the platform as a service offering, so you get to tweak a few things, but you don't get to really get down deep and specify OS and configure the virtual machine and so on. You get to specify at the higher level how you want this application to run. And the two primary components of that are how many versions, or not versions, but how many instances of it do you want to run? So do you want one instance of the ASP.NET site in the cloud? Do you want two? Do you want five? Do you want 10? And this is how you scale. So if you have a large number of users, you would set the instance count higher. And you might set the instance count programmatically to ebb and flow as the demand on your site increases or decreases over time. In this case, I'm actually going to set the instance count to 2, not because I expect a lot of users, but because 2 is the minimum number of instances you need to have in order to come under the service level agreement for Windows Azure Cloud Services. The other primary component that you can change here is the size of the virtual machine that Windows Azure is going to spin up for you. As I mentioned, it's platform as a service. Windows Azure is going to take care of the virtual machine for you, install the operating system, manage that OS for you. But you get to pick how many CPUs do you want, from essentially 1 to 4, how much memory and so on is part of that package. And it comes in essentially 5 discrete packages, from extra small to extra large. I'm going to stick with the default of a small. Some of the other configuration parameters you can set here are settings. So settings are very similar to a web config file, except they sit at a higher level. So settings on a cloud service are going to be available to all of the different roles that might be part of that cloud service. So you might put connection strings to databases, high-level configuration parameters, and so on here as well. Endpoints indicate how is the outside world going to get to this web application. And it's a web application, so you're going to expect people to get in through port 80 over HTTP, and that's indeed the default, but you can tweak that and add other entry points as well if you need to. Another configuration option here is local storage. In the past, we've talked about Azure storage, and we've talked about blobs and queues and tables and drives. And local storage is essentially storage that's on the virtual machine instance that's running in the cloud. So it's a great place to put temporary data, to put data that you might use for caching, but not data that you want to live forever, because that virtual machine storage could go away if the virtual machine crashes or there's a hardware failure or something along those lines. So you don't want to use it for persistent storage, but it's fine to use for, again, caching, scratch disks, and so on. There's also certificates, so if you're running an HTTPS site, you would need to add a certificate here to support SSL. And there's virtual networking caching as well. I'm going to leave those because we're going to have a separate session on each of those a little bit later in this series. So this is your entry point to essentially configuring how that service is going to run in the cloud. Now, to deploy the service, what I can do here is essentially right-click on the Azure project and say Publish. And what the publication wizard is going to do is going to make a connection to my Windows Azure account hosted in one of the data centers and essentially wire everything up so that when I hit publish or the final publish button on this wizard, it's going to push up my Windows Azure application, set everything up in the cloud, and start it spinning up in a few minutes, 5 minutes or so, then that application will be available to the public. So in order to get this to work from scratch, the first thing you're going to do is you're going to download your credentials. So if you followed my last session on websites, this is very similar. I'm going to log into my Windows Azure account, and I'm going to download what's called publication settings. So this is essentially the login and the user information that makes that connection from my local machine up to my Windows Azure account. So I automatically logged in here because the credentials were already saved in my cookie. So I'm going to save this file. It's just an XML file, and I'm going to save it on my desktop here. Now that I've got that application saved, again, it came back down from the Windows Azure Cloud, I can import that file. And by importing that file, it knows about my Windows Azure account, what subscriptions I have available, and I can make that connection to my cloud account. You'll notice that I didn't have to go into the Windows Azure portal at all here to set this up, which is kind of cool. I could certainly do that and do some stuff in the Windows Azure portal and come back to Visual Studio, but it's nice to have it all in one place. So I'm going to pick my subscription, my MSDN subscription. And then I'm going to create a cloud service. So the cloud service that I'm creating is going to provide me the URL that my end users are going to talk to access this application. So I need to create something unique, and I believe that this should work. I'm going to call it Reverso. So when the users access my application, they're going to go to reverso.cloudapp.net through an HTTP request, probably through a browser. And I get to pick which of the 8 data centers I want to host my application. So we'll hit OK. It takes a few minutes, a few seconds. It's going to basically check to make sure that that name isn't already used by somebody else. And if it isn't, then it will fill in the rest of the information here. So it's telling me that it's setting this up to deploy to production. In Windows Azure, when you deploy a cloud service, you have essentially 2 buckets that you can deploy to. One is production, one is staging. Production is the same as staging in terms of all the features. The only difference is the URL that you use to get there. So production URL is going to be reverso.cloudapp.net. The staging URL is going to be some long indecipherable string .cloudapp.net. And the idea behind that is the staging site will be public, but it won't be discoverable. So if you're doing last-minute testing and so on, acceptance testing, and you want the actual cloud environment, you use the staging URL. And then when you're ready to go to production, it's actually a very easy process to do what we call a VIP swap. You basically say, I want the IP that went to staging to go to production. I want the IP that went to production to go to staging, and instantaneously your application is live. So it's a great way to stage your application and do that last minute testing and get it set up. I can do release or debug builds, of course, and I can use different configuration files. So I might have a local configuration or a cloud configuration that I have set up. This is kind of like the web config type settings that you might have that differentiate between how you're deploying your application. I can enable remote desktop. I'm going to leave it simple here, and there's actually a number of advanced settings as well that talk about how to handle additional deployments, how to handle updates, and so on to the service. But this is good enough for now, so I'm going to go ahead and hit publish here. And what publish does is it starts the process of packaging up my code locally into what we call a config file, which is just an XML file, as well as a package file. And that package file is a glorified zip file that has all of my code and additional configuration information and so on that the Windows Azure Cloud will know what to do with once it arrives. So as it's building this application, you're going to see a status here. It takes a few minutes for everything to essentially spin up on the other end, so you can sort of see what's going on. It's uploading the package, it's connecting to the server, and so on. Again, this might take 5-10 minutes. While we're waiting for this deployment to complete in the Windows Azure Cloud, I want to show you a really, really cool feature that you can use to essentially debug your application before you push it up into the cloud. So what I'm going to do is take the same application, I'm going to hit F5, and what F5 is going to do is bring up my application. So what F5 will do is bring up my application, my cloud application, inside of the Windows Azure Simulator that's running on my local machine. You'll look at the URL here, and you can see that's a localhost URL, but it's actually leveraging the same underlying technology and APIs that would be being used in the cloud. So in this case, I could actually test my application here. We can try Hello World again. And it's running this application not as a simple ASP.NET website, but as a cloud application inside of my local machine. In fact, if I go down to the status bar here, I can see that I have a compute emulator user interface that's running here. And you can see that there are actually two instances of this website running on my local machine. So again, I can use this as a great way to debug. I can set breakpoints within inside of Visual Studio and so on and actually work with my application and test it, debug it, and so on before I take the effort to put it up into the cloud. So let's go back to our cloud deployment and see how that is running. So I'm going to stop the debugger here. And it will be maybe a couple more minutes before this is done, so we'll fast forward and come back when it's completely deployed. Now that the cloud deployment is complete, I can actually visit the URL here that I can see inside of the little window and go to reverso.cloudapp.net, which will launch, again, the browser to my application, but now my application is indeed inside of the Windows Azure Cloud. And we'll bring up the window here, so it's spinning it up inside of Windows Azure. And if you look at the URL, you can see that it is indeed a cloudapp.net URL. And I can do, let's do Hello Cloud now just to mix things up a little bit. And there we go. So now I've deployed my first cloud application. It's a Windows Azure web role, part of a cloud service. One thing we hadn't done is actually visited the Windows Azure portal. So before I close, I do want to show you that all of this stuff did actually happen inside of Windows Azure. So let me bring up the Windows Azure portal here to show you the cloud service that we just deployed and to give you a feel for what you can do to monitor it and take a look at how it's working as it's servicing all of your various clients. So there's the Reverso cloud service, and if I click on the cloud service, it actually says the service deployment is transitioning. So I believe what's happening here is we have two instances, and one of the instances was up and the other one was still kind of working on it. As I was talking through that, both instances are now up and running and able to service clients, and I can essentially see how well it's running, CPU utilization. You can see a big spike there as I hit the service to test it out. I can monitor, I can do some configurations and so on. So this is very standard for all of the services inside of Windows Azure, but as you can tell, I didn't have to go here to set anything up. I could do it all from Visual Studio, which is very great for the developer experience. So with that, let's go back to the slides and finish up with a few closing words. As always, I wanted to leave you with a few handy links covering the topic of Windows Azure web roles, or cloud services in this case. So again, if you haven't gotten your Azure trial, please go ahead and visit the aka.ms Get Azure Trial, and you get 90 days free utilization of all the services. You can try out Windows Azure Web Roles, Worker Roles, Cloud Services, and so on. I've got a couple of links to MSDN documentation here. The first couple links are for cloud services. It cover both web and worker roles, which we'll get into a little bit later in the next episode. There's a great to-do list sample walkthrough. It's somewhat similar in concept to the simple web application I gave you, but it's got a little bit more to it. It actually interfaces with the SQL database as well, so a little bit more interesting and essentially a guided walkthrough. And then lastly, there's a great guidance from Patterns and Practices Group, which you want to look at specifically as you're building up your cloud architectures, whether you're doing greenfield or brownfield development. Some great things to think about in terms of how do you build for the cloud a little bit differently than you would build on-premises. So thanks for joining me for this introduction to Web Roles, half of the Windows Azure's cloud services offering. Next time we'll talk about the other half, Worker Roles, which are a key component to building responsive and scalable cloud applications.